From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters. Last week, two men from Idaho Falls were each sentenced to more than 20 years in prison for trafficking fentanyl and methamphetamine. During that investigation, police found 12,000 fentanyl pills in a storage unit in Idaho Falls. And according to the U.S. Attorney for the District of Idaho, this isn't an isolated occurrence here in the Gem State. Back in April, two men pleaded guilty to drug trafficking after police found almost a pound of counterfeit oxycodone that was laced with fentanyl. There was another federal case last February and another a few months before that. And it only takes 2 milligrams of fentanyl to kill someone. That's the equivalent of a few grains of salt. And counterfeit pills are often laced with fentanyl, with no way of knowing if that pill is lethal at all. So here today to talk more about fentanyl is the U.S. Attorney for the District of Idaho, Josh Hurwit. Josh, I want to welcome you back to the program.
Thank you, Gemma. Thanks for having me.
So let's just start with the basics, if we can. Josh, what's the definition of fentanyl? I mean, what is it?
Fentanyl is a synthetic opioid. It's used for valid medical reasons as an anesthetic, supervised usually in a hospital or in a pain clinic, for patients with severe pain, usually post-surgery. And that's the lawful use of fentanyl, but of course, we're here to talk about its unlawful use.
Mm-hmm. So I mentioned how lethal it is. So it is highly dangerous, I am assuming.
Exactly. It is 100 times more potent than heroin, which is the illegal drug that fentanyl is really replacing as in the illicit markets. And you mentioned 2 milligrams. If you think of a packet of sweetener that you would see at a diner or a coffee shop, mm-hmm. that packet contains 1,000 milligrams of, you know, sugar or fake sugar. So we're talking about 2 milligrams out of that compared to that 1,000 in that packet.
So how are people getting their hands on counterfeit fentanyl, on illegal fentanyl?
Unfortunately, it's widely available, being distributed by dealers in all parts of Idaho. Stepping back more broadly than that, the mm-hmm. precursor chemicals are manufactured in China, make their way across the oceans to really two main cartels in Mexico, where the cartels make them in labs that really shouldn't be called labs. Sometimes they're outside in filthy circumstances, and these fake pills, and even more so now, powdered fentanyl, make their way up to all parts of the United States.
Mm. So my understanding is that in some of these cases here in Idaho, criminals are selling counterfeit opioid pills, and they are laced with fentanyl. Now, do these people know that it's laced with fentanyl and they're still selling it? How do we know if it has fentanyl in it or not, or is that part of the issue?
So there's been a transition or an evolution over the last probably 6 or 7 years when fentanyl first hit the markets, so to speak, where maybe some dealers didn't know that the fake Xanax, mm-hmm. fake Adderall pills they were selling contained fentanyl. And a lot of users didn't know, and that's still the case. However, the appearance of powdered fentanyl in the marketplace, to me, indicates that both dealers and even users know that what they are purchasing, what they are selling, is fentanyl. And so you have both the risk of people not understanding what they're actually putting in their bodies, if they're seeking an oxy pill, for example. But you also have a segment of the market that is purposely seeking out fentanyl and purposely using fentanyl and addicted to fentanyl.
So how closely do these counterfeit pills look to the real drugs? Like, let's, for example, you know, if you go into the hospital and you get some type of surgery, let's say, a lot of times you are prescribed oxycodone. You go to the pharmacy, you pick it up. If you get something counterfeit, does it look similar?
It looks indistinguishable, unfortunately. And the DEA has a website called One Pill that you can go and take a look at the photos that they place a, let's say, an oxy pill next to a counterfeit oxy pill, and the markings are the same, the color is the same, they're stamped in the same way. It's impossible for an untrained eye to tell the difference.
So can you explain this then, Josh? So are people, so you talked about this powdered fentanyl. So are people purchasing powdered fentanyl, or are they usually getting some type of illegal drug, which they think, as you mentioned, might be oxycodone, might be Xanax, and it has fentanyl in it?
So both. And there's an evolution. Before, we saw mostly pills, and we're still seeing mostly pills, but there's an increase in powdered form of fentanyl, which doesn't look like a pill, doesn't look like another drug necessarily, and people are selling that on purpose and buying that on purpose.
But if it only takes 2 milligrams, I mean, are they selling more than that to someone? I mean, are people taking this powdered form and dying?
Yes. You know, not necessarily everyone that takes it will die. People develop tolerances, or they use small amounts. Typically, for a pill, for example, a user might cut it into quarters and smoke one quarter at a time. So the amounts people use are small, and the deaths that we see occur when someone takes more than they think they're taking, or sometimes the distribution within a pill of those 2 milligrams might be uneven, especially when it's made in, you know, because it's made in labs in Mexico. With the powder, people are buying, you know, significant amounts and then reselling it, and users aren't buying significant quantities necessarily.
So who is buying fentanyl? Do we know?
Yes. You know, it affects all socioeconomic classes, categories, all parts of the state, like I mentioned. Typically, and this, again, it's changing, unfortunately, but typically it's been people that are already addicted to painkillers who are seeking oxycodone pills, for example, who may have been addicted to heroin and have switched over. Now, unfortunately, it's more of an experimental drug, and we're seeing it in cocaine. We're seeing it even in marijuana in some parts of the country. And it's being used to cut other drugs so that dealers can, because it's so cheap, they can sell, let's say, cocaine, but if it has partial amounts of fentanyl in it, they can use that to get a higher price. So it's a risk for really all segments of the population.
Let me reintroduce you really quick for people who are just joining us. We're talking with Josh Hurwit. He is the U.S. Attorney for the District of Idaho, and we're talking about fentanyl here in Idaho and really the crisis that it's becoming. Because, Josh, last year, Governor Little directed $1 million. So there could be more testing equipment purchased. Also, he wanted to start a campaign to educate the public about fentanyl. In your opinion, how important is it to educate people about this drug?
It's critically important. We, and we'll probably talk about this, we can prosecute, and you have mentioned some of the cases that we do. We can prosecute, you know, dozens of people a year. We can take, you know, pounds of fentanyl out of circulation, but there's so much of it coming up from the South. It's so cheap and it's so small to transport that we'll never prosecute our way out of this problem. What we need to do is make sure that every single Idahoan knows of the risks, speaks with their kids, grandkids, students, you know, and even for older adults as well, to know the risks and know that the only pill that you should ever take comes from, you know, a parent, grandparent, trusted source, or a medical provider.
So you mentioned you just can't prosecute your way out of this, right? So with that said, how often are you seeing fentanyl popping up in cases that you prosecute on a federal level?
All the time. And I can give you a couple statistics that I think show the trend. This year, fentanyl will be the most common drug that we prosecute in our cases for the first time ever, surpassing methamphetamine. For many of our cases, there's multiple drugs involved, but this will be the first year where, if you were to take a cross-section of our cases or look at them statistically, the majority of our cases will involve fentanyl, whereas in the past it's been methamphetamine. Another statistic that gives you a sense of the problem, last month in January, we indicted 11 defendants on fentanyl charges, and that will likely be the same type of number that we see going forward.
What impacts of fentanyl are we seeing in Idaho? Are we seeing every year, you know, the death rate go up because of fentanyl use? How is this impacting us?
That's the saddest and the most troubling aspect of this crisis is that, yes, death rates are going up. In 2021, there were 350 approximate deaths due to overdoses in Idaho, not all fentanyl, but the trend is that it's becoming more of a percentage of that number. That number of deaths due to overdoses has gone up by 150 every year since about 2018. So it's a troubling trend, and we're not on the right side of it.
So, you mentioned caregivers, parents needing to talk to their kids about this. And I remember, growing up, there was always, say no to drugs, the whole thing. But with the advent of the internet, we know that there is then more access to illegal drugs. And we know that not just teenagers, but adults, people are buying this stuff over the internet. And there have been some pretty high profile cases across the country where teenagers in particular have overdosed because they got on, maybe something like Snapchat, right? So you think, yes, that there's no history, they can't find the person selling this. And then these kids buy this, it comes in the mail, they take it, they die. We have heard this scenario over and over again. And as a mom whose kid has Snapchat, having a teenager, it is so scary because this is so incredibly lethal. And a lot of kids just don't know that what they're getting may be laced with fentanyl. And are we seeing more of that here in our state? And if so, how do we really get it across to our kids that, this is no laughing matter. This is, they shouldn't be rolling their eyes at us when we're talking to them about this.
Absolutely. It is increasing in terms of the access and the fact that some of these dealers are marketing to kids. Mm-hmm. Snapchat, other social media platforms are a way that we are seeing that dealers are, selling their illegal product, unfortunately. And so it's unlike, when you and I were kids, I think, because mm-hmm. of the lethality of fentanyl. You don't get a second chance sometimes if you experiment or if you don't be very, very careful with what you're putting in your body and where you're getting things. Like I said, you may think that you're doing cocaine. You may think that even you're doing marijuana, it could have fentanyl mm-hmm. in there. So it's just a different landscape, unfortunately, that we're in talking to our kids. How we do that effectively, we're working with schools, we're working with law enforcement. We can't solve this problem from a law enforcement angle, as I said. It really mm-hmm. depends on every single parent, every single teacher making a point to talk to young people about this.
Before we take a break, I want to ask you another question in regards to marijuana, because you have said that, even with marijuana, it can sometimes be laced with fentanyl. And do you think that there is a misunderstanding around marijuana, because it is legal in so many states? It is still federally illegal. So because of that, there are not regulations, right? There are not federal regulations around marijuana, like let's say there is around alcohol, because it is federally illegal. So even if someone were to purchase marijuana in a state where it is legal, do they need to be concerned that what they may be getting could be laced with fentanyl? Or is that a moot point?
So I'm no expert on this because, I serve Idaho where we don't have
right.
lawful or legal marijuana. I don't want to overstate the risk of marijuana. We're not seeing a lot of cases with fentanyl-laced marijuana. And I think that when we're seeing fentanyl cases, it's the a legal marketplace. It's not through a dispensary or a place or a pharmacy where you could get legal drugs.
Okay. I just think that's a good point to make with that said. So Governor Little and his Citizens Action Group on fentanyl have stressed the need for stronger state and federal border security to keep fentanyl out of the state of Idaho, Josh. So what is your office doing in response to just the growing access to this drug?
So awareness is step one. And, you know, in addition to speaking with you, we are going around the state to make sure that the communities are aware of the problem, of the threat. You know, it's a threat mm-hmm. to the lives of Idahoans. We're also prioritizing the prosecutions that we do aimed at not just dealers, but dealers that are involved in multi-state enterprises that are connected to cartels down south, down by the border. That intersects with our approach to rooting out violent crime. A lot mm-hmm. of the times these dealers, the people bringing the drugs up, have firearms. They're trafficking in firearms as well. And so it's sort of dual problem of both guns and drugs. But our approach is to target the most severely dangerous people in the communities that are bringing this poison into Idaho.
So what is the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force? And is that helping you to find these drug traffickers who are coming into Idaho or may be here?
Yes, it's called OCDEF for short, doesn't necessarily roll off the tongue, but we've gotten used to it. I've gotten used to it. It's a federally funded grant task force program, and there are different branches throughout the country, and then within each U.S. Attorney's office, there's at least one attorney that works with the actual task force locally to look at these cases involving not just dealers, not just users, but organizations that could be trafficking in meth. It could be fentanyl. It could be both. In different parts of the country, it might be cocaine as a prevalent drug. The approach is to get together local law enforcement, state law enforcement, federal law enforcement, make sure they're trained, make sure they can not just work within, let's say, the Treasure Valley, but can go broader and can even go beyond state borders to take out the network of drug trafficking that's involved.
And you have an Eastern Idaho partnership as well, correct? Can you talk to us about that?
Yes, absolutely. So that partnership is put together and funded by the state of Idaho, as well as the counties and municipalities, cities, I should have said, simpler, over in Eastern Idaho. They fund a attorney position in our office that focuses on drugs and guns out in that part of the state.
So I want to switch gears really quick for the last couple of minutes we have and talk about Narcan. Can you tell us what it is and how it helps and how does law enforcement view its use?
Absolutely. It's basically an antidote. You could think of it that way. Narcan is the way it's marketed. It's the drug is called naloxone. When someone overdoses on fentanyl, fentanyl is a depressant, and so basically it just shuts the body down. Narcan basically revives the person. They start hopefully breathing again, and then oxygen can get back to the brain, and people, you know, walk away from overdoses many times when they're administered Narcan. What we're doing, and this is happening across the country, is we're educating law enforcement first about its use, and we're pretty well along the path there, but also to make sure it's available in the community. You can get it at pharmacies, and it's frankly not a bad thing to have in places where people congregate or if you know someone at risk. It's very helpful in preventing deaths from fentanyl.
So If you happen to know someone, maybe a loved one who has struggled with addiction issues, I mean, is Narcan is something that you could literally get at the pharmacy and just keep on your person, you know, in case, God forbid, there was an instance where you needed to use it?
Yes, you could. And that's what law enforcement officers are doing. the White House is kind of developing models to make this really accessible across the country. So it sounds odd. It sounds scary that we might consider walking around with an antidote of sorts on our person or in our homes. But it saves lives, and it's worth considering that.
And on the flip side, as you said, though, it could save someone's life if you had Narcan. So do you think there needs to be more education for folks around that as well, so that it doesn't seem so scary or something that I guess only law enforcement or the medical community could use?
Yeah, it's actually given many times through a nasal spray. So it's not like you have to even deal with needles sometimes. So
okay.
I agree. We should talk about it. It should be available in our communities. Certainly law enforcement, I think, would agree with me. In Ada County, giving you an example, they're working on a program to actually leave Narcan behind if they were to respond to a location where there has been an overdose.
Huh. I have about 40 seconds left with you. Bottom line, Josh, what do people need to know about fentanyl right now?
They need to know that it's killing over 100,000 Americans a year, and it's killing people in Idaho. It's hopefully not going to get worse, but I'm not going to predict any numbers. What I can predict is that we're going to prosecute it very aggressively. We're getting good sentences. We're making a difference. But without the awareness piece of it, law enforcement won't be able to stem the tide.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming in and spending time with us today and talking about this and going more in depth. It is so critically important that people know about the dangers of this. So really, thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. We've been talking with Josh Hurwit. He is the U.S. Attorney for the District of Idaho. We've been discussing fentanyl use here in Idaho and how important it is that we are all more educated on this so that hopefully we can stem this. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Race might be a hot topic right now, but for so many of us, talking about race is nothing new. On the Code Switch podcast from NPR, we go beyond the headlines and we go deep. Listen now.